and the Bulldog.
I have a leg injury and a foot injury right now.
A leg and a foot. Are they on the same
side of my body?
Side of your body?
Yes.
Okay. Left. What happened to you?
I got stung by a bee. And then I think I got stung by another bee.
Oh, come on.
I think I did.
When did this happen?
Last night. Who knew?
It's Mike Shope.
Huh. Just never thought about getting stung by a bee at night.
I don't know.
But there would still be bees at night.
I guess.
That to sound like the flat earth thing. The bees just don't disappear when it gets dark.
Okay, but I've never seen one at night.
Well, it's dark.
And the Bulldog.
Maybe they would not be out at night, but you disturbed it, so it came out and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, they weren't expecting me.
I'm in here trying to watch the Vietnam War on PBS.
Right.
And you're what are you doing sitting down in the chair? This is my time.
You are not supposed to.
Right.
This is our time.
Right.
That's what the bee said.
Right.
So, on behalf of the other bees.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
The Vietnam War, or as it's known within Vegas Golden Knight circles, the Vietnam War. Because they can't, they're not allowed to say the letter M.
Why are they?
Because this is one way where they're not really good to their employees. No bread.
Yeah.
They can't say the letter M. And they can't listen to Bob Seger.
Yeah. I'm glad you kept track of all those. Yeah.
I had a whole thing that one day, it was a fleeting moment, but we had the no bread, and then we had you can't say the letter. Let's just put a bow on this for all time. And, you know, you maybe come back at me with, well, is there a bread, you know, with the letter M? Like, you know, poopernickel. They have to call it because there's no M. They can't say the letter M, so they have to change the – anyway, no pun intended. How are you today? Are you good?
I'm good, yeah. I feel...
It's out there. It's in the space.
I feel almost just about as normal as ever. Yeah. I feel
really?
Fine. Yeah.
I think
last
I would say...
Last night was rough. I had to take 3 pills at 7 o'clock last night, and then I had dinner, and that didn't go great.
Why?
That's just the prep called for that.
Three pills and then dinner?
Well, it said take the pills at 7 p.m. I didn't eat... You know, the second I walked in the door. So I took the pills and then had some dinner. And the first couple hours of bedtime were a little unruly. But things simmered down and I've been great ever since. So I'm all good. But in an hour, I start drinking the stuff. We'll see what happens. The last time I did this, there was no trouble at all. So I don't...
That was a long time ago.
I'm old enough to have done this. This is my third. I'm having a colonoscopy tomorrow. Hey, men's health. This is my third one. So the first one I had is almost 10 years ago. That was, I remember being in here.
See, I'm sorry that I don't.
Starting the stuff. And I don't think I had to leave early. But like when we were done, I had to really get home fast. Because it was just, I was, you know, the medicine was taking effect, or the whatever, the plan was taking effect. I think they've, in the 10 years that have passed since then, saw the prep
improved.
Is not, it's more gradual.
I don't know if I believe this.
Because I did this 3 years ago, it led to me actually, well, it's not why I ended up getting sick, but I got sick. Before I could have a surgery that was, you know, discovered that I needed it during a colonoscopy 3 years ago. And I worked the whole same sort of thing, 6 in the morning, I'm going, you know, the next day. And we did the whole show together, and there was no trouble. So I'm not anticipating any trouble. I think I'll be fine.
You're 10 years older.
Well, there is that, sure.
And this show really has never... It's fine if I make a hee-haw reference and make a joke about how the show has never sounded older. This is the oldest the show has ever sounded. Colonoscopy talk.
Yeah.
This is really the low... This is it. But I think inside baseball, I think maybe we're sort of expected to talk like this. Like it's not...
Well, I mean...
They know out there we're not kids. Like these people are not expecting us to talk about... You know, well, this would not work either as a reference. I was going to say Fortnite. That's even like how many years ago is Fortnite?
Right.
15?
Is Minecraft a little better? Is
Minecraft?
Is that more contemporary?
I don't know. Hunger Games? I mean, there's a certain expectation there in this you know, in this room.
TikTok. We're not supposed to.
TikTok is not even recent.
We're not supposed to be talking about TikTok.
No, that's not even a. That's not even current either anymore. Well, if you're not ailing, I do have a question.
I am not. I feel absolutely. If this were a game
for an hour,
the coach would be saying he's full go.
Leave him in.
No limitations. I feel great.
Leave him in.
I'm hungry. I would like to eat some food, but
I brought food.
So you did, and I missed out on that. Just can't do it.
I did another thing where I brought in food to share, and you said, like, you reminded me you couldn't eat. So I gave it to Brad and Joe Beamer. Yeah. And, oh, it's great.
Did we hear something yesterday? Did this come up on the air about, is it National Donut Day?
Friday.
Oh, okay.
No, we have ads running. They're like, oh, it's only 4 days away. Okay. Like, anybody would know that.
Okay.
We have ads. Like, oh,
I just got to tell you.
We're only four days away from National Donut Day.
I feel
fine.
Oh,
it's that time of year again?
And I am fine. But I will tell you, being in the house was challenging because, you know, anytime I go do something, okay, after this I'll make a protein shake, or after this I'll have an apple, or after this I'll make a sandwich, or after, and like, you realize that your whole day, at least for me, is sort of a lead up to when you eat and then thinking about what you're going to eat next. Like, that's a lot of my day, it seems to me. I'm not that busy, I guess. So without that, I'm just sitting in the house. I didn't want to work out. I didn't want to go play golf because, like, anything that I do like that is going to deplete my ability to do this because I'm not going to be able to replenish. I'm not eating. So I just wanted to take it easy. I thought I should just go to work because I'm tired of being home and tempted by leftovers or whatever. I'll go to work. You know what stopped me from coming to work is that I thought it was National Donut Day. And there's going to be like a table full of donuts out there when I got here. And that would be, I don't usually eat donuts, but in a moment like this, I'd be like, oh my God.
There's something out there in a box.
There was something.
Cupcakes or. Yeah.
But anyway, I thought if it was National Donut Day, I thought that's enough of a deterrent for me not to go in early because that's going to be worse than sitting home.
I just love the spot. It's only 4 days away.
Yep. Oh, wow. Oh my God. I forgot. I got to start making all my plans.
I forgot. Wow, really? It sneaks up on you, that National Donut Day.
All right, what was your question? Yeah, I'm ready. Sorry.
So tonight is the first game of the Stanley Cup last round. The Sabres went from, I'm sorry to be like this and sort of drag this out because it's really not necessary. The Sabres went from a 14 consecutive years of not being in the playoffs to division title in the hardest division ever. And then game 7, overtime of round 2. What's a good year next year? Does it have to be better? Does next year have to be?
No.
What does next year have to be?
No, next year does not have to be better to be considered a good year. I think if they are a contending for the division, like, they're not squeezing in the 8 spot, right? They're not in danger of fall. If they're like a top 3 team in the division, I think that's a good year. And then the playoffs are like whatever. You know, it's hockey. So I am not going to judge whether they had a good year or not. To me, the most important thing they can do between now and the beginning of next season and then even into the start of next season is look like what we saw for 5 months is real. We've got one of the best teams in the league, and we are going to be that again this year, and that'll give you some hope that, you know, this window will last as long as Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power are excellent, or until Tage Thompson ages out and you have to find a way to replace him and, you know, all that he does for you. I think
that's still a ways off.
I think so. If you get a season where they're that level of team, then I think to me that would be, for me, good. And then, you know, whatever else happens once you get to, you know, mid-April, you know, start flipping coins.
What if they start 11-18 again?
We're going to not panic.
Right? We can't? Yeah. We're not allowed to?
We're not allowed to panic.
Guys, there's 53 games left. You remember last year?
A lot of time. Maybe they'll fire Yarmo. I mean, you just can't.
Just to light a spark?
Right. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's a little humor for you.
Imagine if that happened.
Yeah. So.
Well, I don't know.
That's what I think.
I, I think we've, not speaking for everybody, but we had a blast this year, partly because we had no idea that it was coming. So we got this unexpected joyride from them that lasted into mid to late May. And meaningful games in March became a relic, a thing of the distant
became
past.
Became meaningful games in May.
And then it was May. And like, okay, well, this is you've heard this before. You'll hear it again. Final five teams left. You know, like that's not really a thing, but yeah. Everybody else, every other series was over, so they were one of the final five teams. I just wonder what this year does for next year's expectations, because there's really nothing not to like about their setup. And that makes me think that the bar is pretty high. And it's not a team that has any real consistent, history of success. Mm. The years we've pointed to, whether it's 06, 07, or 10, 11, because that was their last time in the playoffs, were both fleeting experiences, different leaders, and, you know, again, short. You have the Hasek years, and that's almost even too long ago to matter, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's
different
owners, different...
Very different leagues.
Just not a different coach.
Right.
Somehow they have the same coach.
There is that, yeah, with an interruption, but yeah.
But I just wonder, I'm up in my chair for next year. Like, I'm ready for it. Mm-hmm. I want to know the schedule this time. Who are we starting with? And, like, what are the, whatever it means in hockey, like the premium dates and just all of
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
But is it a team where, so the Lightning or the Panthers before this year, these teams that are perennials, Colorado, Carolina, even Vegas, like easy division, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. these perennials, I sort of like to pick at how the regular season doesn't mean anything. Because you know you're Chicago in the Kane and Taves days. You know you're good. So what's the point? Are we playing? Is home ice important? Is something other? Like, there's no bye week. There's no, like, it's really just that. The matchups are not that different depending on where you land. Look at the Sabres this year. How many points did Boston have? 98 points?
That's definitely true in this division. If the Metro's a little bit different.
This year.
Carolina had just fantastic fortune to draw Pittsburgh and then Philadelphia.
Ottawa. No, and we didn't want to play Ottawa.
No, that's right.
We liked Boston more than Ottawa as an opponent. Like, that even didn't matter.
Right.
So, I don't know. What are we supposed to do with next year?
I think kick
our feet up?
I think expectations will be very high, which is why I think, being realistic about it, like, you got to go win the division or you something's wrong. I just think that's nuts. I mean, it was so close this year, it'll be close again. I think if you're in that mix, top three, you're not really worried about the wild card fight. Maybe as the year's going on, you're like, boy, this 2-3 looks like it'll be really tough. I'd really like to be able to pass that and play a wild card team like I did last year. Like, if we're talking like that in February, then I think you've had a good year. I'm not going to say it's a great year, because a great year, I think, would be building on what they did last year, but I think that's very hard to build. Building on 109 points is nuts. Like, you're going to have a hard time doing that, you know, statistically anyway. And I think it will be, like, I think Florida will be back. Montreal ain't going anywhere. I think Ottawa, kind of the same thing. We'll see about Detroit and Toronto. Detroit was looking like Buffalo and Montreal for most of the year, and then they just fell off a cliff in March and April. They just disappeared late March and into April and just wheezed to the finish line. The division, I think, is set up. Tampa, I think, is still going to be loaded.
They're not old yet?
I don't think maybe yet. I don't know. I feel like they've pivoted effectively enough.
Hagel.
Point.
Kucherov.
Kucherov is still prime, I think. You know, Hedman is maybe the biggest concern you'd have there with the way this year went. But nonetheless.
Radish.
I think, Radish is a free agent.
Good.
Well, we'll see. Look, somebody.
Do we want him? Free agent idea of the day.
I don't. No. Okay. I think somebody's going to give him $11 million because of all the goals he scored this year. And then when that gets cut in half, then you'll be like, wow, good contract. I don't know. We'll see if he can. He's a late bloomer. Maybe he'll keep going. But
I like it.
It's a one-off year. He was nobody before this year began. Well, and now he might be poised to become the highest paid defenseman in the offseason. Like, in free agents, I don't mean he's going to go to the top of the – he's not going to make more than Makar or even Dahlin probably. But, you know what I'm saying. He'll be the guy in this class that gets paid probably because of all the goals. So I think the division is just going to be really – it'll probably be the best division in the league again.
Would you take third right now?
That's very tempting. I don't think I
803.
I don't think I want to, but it's tempting. No, I got to say no. Because I think I can still – you might have asked me that in February.
I'm in the playoffs this year. Next year. I'm yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Right now, I'm yes. They're that good? I mean, all the Greg Wyshynski conversations about shooting percentage who knows if they have a good goalie. Like, every year, it's just the Wild West in net. I think I would take third right now. You wouldn't.
I don't think I want to, no.
I'm in.
Much like I know I'm in, and I'm saying that qualifies as a good year, but I'm closing myself off from a great year, and they may be capable of a great year.
Respectfully, there's no good or great year in the regular season in hockey. Like, it's all about what happens after that. So what's Vegas? I mean, really, these teams, what was Montreal? They were third in the division, right? Just, I don't know. Sign me up.
Yeah, well, home ice is not – we're going to have a hard time convincing people that home ice really matters. Because
we went 2-5, and our building is rooting for the other team.
And they lost Game 7 in overtime at home. So that's tough.
Didn't we talk ourselves into for like 30 years that starting on the road is better?
Yes, we did, when that was all we had. That's absolutely right, we did.
I don't know.
We did.
Give me third next year. Give me third in the Atlantic right now. I guess I want to experience it, but I would take it. You would not. Interesting.
I think I want to roll. I want to roll the dice and hope for better. But it's one of the best times you've ever asked that question.
Oh.
I think because I'm already telling you I think top three means you've had a good year, and so if that were to be the outcome, I'd be happy because I think they would have had a good year.
You just want that first game against whoever at home, and I don't know why that means anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we're just sitting with this for the first time.
Right. I mostly just want to enjoy. See, how much difference is there being one of the best teams in the league again? I mean, Montreal was one of the best teams in the league this year. They finished 3 points behind the Sabres. Do they have 106 or whatever they had? I don't remember the numbers.
Sounds right.
That was one of the best teams in the league, and they finished third. So I know you.
It is 106.
I have a feeling you could probably press me into.
I can get you there.
I think you could get me there. I think you could get me in that car. I'm driving off a lot in that car. I'm pretty sure.
I think every team in hockey should take that deal.
Third in their division?
Yes. Home teams win 54% of games. Do home teams in this playoffs even have a winning record? I don't know. Maybe not.
Boy, through like midway through round two, they did not.
I was keeping track of it. At one point, I think it was 32-37 or 32-35. And then, I mean, Vegas romped, Carolina romped. It probably didn't really change. I'd be pretty confident in saying that I think home teams have a losing record these playoffs by a game or two.
Mm-hmm. I think
not that next year has to be the same thing.
I think that's probably right. So, yeah.
And, we're the problem.
Because we want it too much?
No, because we went 2-5.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. I see. We contributed to that.
If the Sabres gone 5-2 in the playoffs, then maybe that's different. But there's every reason to like the future and even the near future. Maybe even more the long term than the short term with
That might be right. That might be right.
20 to 24-year-olds.
That really depends on what happens in the next, 6 weeks or so. Because, and not so much the draft itself, but what action takes place around in and around the draft as far as trades go. And then free agency, what ends up being the verdict on Tuck, what happens there, and what have I done to replace him, if anything, effectively. That is all just there for them to figure out. And I think even without Tuck, you can, provided, again, moves are made, there's already, every time I see something from a Drager or whatever, if the Sabres come up, it's like, well, they were aggressive in March, they'll be aggressive now. So we'll see what the trade market looks like with that. Why the sigh about that aggressive?
No, it's just because, like, you know, you mentioned an insider's name. Like, somebody's telling them that.
Okay.
And don't they all want to tell them how aggressive they're going to be? Like, I wonder what the last 15 years of insider tweets have read like in terms of the Sabres. Oh, this is the year they're going to go after it. I'm not sure that's right. And it's a broad brush, I admit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to see first. I know that Vegas, the thing we have to figure out how to do is get into the Pacific Division. Vegas had 30 regulation wins. Washington had 37.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to pull that off.
They weren't even in.
Right.
Washington has the card to play that there is a state in the West named Washington. Like, they could actually maybe get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're that much closer.
37 regulation wins, Vegas 30.
Yeah.
LA 22.
Weren't there, like, maybe five teams in the East that outpaced both LA and
Vegas? No.
Not Vegas?
In that category, no.
Okay.
But, I mean, the Sabres had 42 regulation wins. The Kings had 22. They were in. They lost.
Yeah.
They got swept.
Yeah.
Well, here's to it. I mean, finally, as we've said every day for a while, the Sabres have given us, like, a spark. Like, there's a lot to be excited about. I just was thinking about whether, like, what we need from next year. Lindy Ruff, he'll be going for records, milestones. A young roster. We have the Tuck issue. Goaltending is what? Is it the same? Same two guys back and forth all year? Is that the plan?
Same three guys, maybe.
Three guys. I forgot about that. Lots to ponder. Today on the show, Daryl Reuter out of Cleveland. Miles Garrett traded to the Rams. We'll talk about the Browns a little bit and the AFC. Also, Sal Capaccio. Bulldogs prep will be closely monitored and talked about, and I predict we'll see what happens.
I don't think there's going to be anything to talk about.
I hope you're right.
I really don't. I don't. I'm very confident.
I hope you're right. 4 o'clock is when the stuff starts.
Yeah, right. Start the stuff at four.
Counting down to that. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
You know, it's been great to have him and Josh start to make a connection. And the one thing I know is they go out there and they're learning each other a little bit. And I think that if you watch a rep, let's say we're throwing routes to the receivers and it just doesn't feel right to Josh and or DJ, they're going to make sure they get that rep again and make sure that it feels right for both of them. But he's smooth, he comes off the ball, and sometimes it feels like you don't, and all of a sudden he's by guys. So I think that he's a great addition.
Okay, get to know that voice. Pete Carmichael, longtime NFL assistant, now with the Bills, offensive coordinator. We're at a new moment here where the offensive coordinator of the Bills may or may not be relevant in our conversations.
Right. You say, get to know that voice, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I mean, he's going to talk every Monday. Like, that's what Brady and Bobby –
Leonard, do you want?
No, I'm last year. Bobby
Babbage?
Bobby Babbage, thank you. Bobby Babbage and Joe Brady would talk every Monday afternoon, I think, after McDermott or whatever. There was a scheduled. So he'll do a weekly media. So we will hear from him. But
there's a Boston here.
Yeah, you think? Yeah.
He's from Framingham, Massachusetts.
Oh, Framingham.
You can hear it. Like,
where the marathon starts.
No, not going to judge. That doesn't have to be a bad thing.
I'm going to choose not to worry about it at all.
Good.
Okay.
Good idea.
You know.
Nope. No problem there.
It is like you could listen to Babbage talk and maybe like what he sounded like, but like what is he really pulling strings here?
Right.
You know,
what was it worth?
Same kind of thing with Carmichael,
right,
with Brady being the head coach.
Carmichael replaced whom as the offensive coordinator of the Saints in January of 2009?
January of 2009. Bobby Hebert.
Doug Marrone.
Wow.
So Doug Marrone left the Saints to go to Syracuse, and then we knew him after that.
That's right.
So
I saw him in the news. Why did I see him in the news?
Oh, I thought you were going to say like in the store. I saw Doug Marrone in the hardware store today.
He was
buying blank.
Vrabel made a joke at OTAs. He had a surgery, so he's like, you know,
who?
Marrone had surgery, like something that was like, yeah, he'll be.
Is he on the staff there?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah,
New England?
Offensive line coach.
Oh, wow. He was buying paint.
That's not right.
So we don't have reverse AFC power rankings today because, come on, we did it last week and really there's just not enough stuff. Maybe tonight on ADP Chasing on YouTube 7:30, you might see it, but not now, at least.
Wow. I didn't know you were farming out our bits.
Well, I probably am not, but if we get really bored and everybody's Wi-Fi breaks, then I'll just do it.
Time for you to vamp.
But in the spirit of the reverse AFC power rankings, like, all right, so who is the worst team? What is the worst team? We talk about the Jets and the Raiders and the Titans and the Dolphins, you know, the teams at the top of that list, the bottom of the standings. But a little bit more freedom here if we're not ranking them.
Mm-hmm.
Which AFC team franchise is in the worst shape? Like, which team would you least like to be right now? For me, the teams I mentioned, it would be none of those.
Yep.
The Dolphins can get out of jail. The Jets are maybe not bad, maybe not terrible at least, and they have some talent. The Raiders have a top overall pick at quarterback. They have Bowers, they have Genty, they have a new coach that seems promising. Like, mm-hmm, they could be okay. Tennessee, last year's 101. Tate this year, they could be okay. These might not be, any of these teams might not be the worst team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I think I would vote for another team to be the one that I think is in the worst shape.
The only one of those, you mentioned four teams there, right?
Yes.
Miami's the only one that I might sort of balk at. I'm just not really sure where they are right now.
Nowhere.
Right. And I don't, you know, getting out of jail, they're still going to have, did they swallow all the dead money on Tua, or is that split up? I can't remember now.
I don't know.
Do they have? I think they still are going to be burdened. And I don't really know. Like every time I see the coach talking, it's like, who's that? I mean, that doesn't. There's a lot of guys that get jobs. It doesn't mean it won't work. It just, I don't know. I think Miami is. I think they made a mistake signing Malik Willis, and I just don't think they're going anywhere. The Jets, is Aaron Glenn any good? Like that, people were saying pretty matter-of-factly he probably should have been fired last year.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Like, do you want to have – I Geno Smith, if he's Seattle Geno, that's better than anything they've had in, I don't know, since Chad Pennington maybe?
Since before Geno Smith was drafted?
Yes, right. But I just don't know about the overall there. And, like, to me, that looks like a team that if they don't get off to a good start, will just be like, here we go again.
Miami being maybe the worst team in the league is why I wouldn't pick them, because I sort of like that for a team that they can start mm-hmm. over. But it doesn't line up. It is a new coach. They did sign a quarterback. It doesn't exactly line up. So Miami isn't a bad choice. The Jets kind of resemble the team I'm thinking of, where they're a little bit old for a team that's at the bottom. I mean, Geno is, but Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, these guys are into their, unlike Tennessee.
Yeah.
Well, Tennessee is this at running back, but like they're not sort of starting over. Titans, maybe it's on spec, but maybe with Ward and Tate and the rest of it. And then Vegas is the same thing.
I'm
thinking of Indianapolis. What if we're Indianapolis? Are we despondent? Are we throwing rocket launchers every day about the Colts? Like, what is it?
I think I'd be pretty close to despondent.
We're going to sign Daniel Jones off a torn Achilles, who is also Daniel Jones.
Right. That's the bigger problem.
I've got my best player is a running back. I traded Pittman. I don't know. Tyler Warren, okay. Pierce, okay. Downs, okay. Some linemen and defensive guy, whatever. Like, just what is it? I think if I'm Indianapolis, well, this is just me talking. Jacksonville is, like, kind of good.
Uh-huh.
And Houston might be good. I don't like Houston as much as Jacksonville, but I might. And then who knows what Tennessee is. Like, I think I could be down bad if I'm the Colts. And if I'm going to sign Daniel Jones, which the Giants already did and went nowhere,
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to do that, like, as a commitment, oh, my God.
That's the biggest problem I would have, is that we've landed there. Like, we had last year, he gave us the season no one saw coming. And, okay, like, you worked with him. You want to run that back off an Achilles injury. Like, okay. I just would be expecting a big sort of come back to earth. I would expect Daniel Jones to look more like Daniel Jones, the Giants incarnation of Daniel Jones. And so I feel like my ceiling there is squeezing into a wild card spot, if that. So I don't know that they have to be the worst. Jones was so good last year that maybe he's at least good enough to keep them from being terrible. But they feel a little bit like the Steelers to me, even though they're not on a run of, you know, barely getting into the playoffs and getting their heads caved in. Maybe they would consider that an upgrade. Maybe that to them would be a good year. Referencing our Sabre conversation from last segment. But as a fan, objectively, I don't think I'm going anywhere big if Daniel Jones is my quarterback. I'm hoping to tread water and it falls right and, you know, I get in with tiebreakers or something.
Maybe I'm Miami. Maybe I'm Dalton Bengals.
Yeah, you're right. Just exactly. Like, yeah, yeah. That to me is your ceiling.
I'm too old for that.
Which I would, you know, it depends, I guess, on how badly you want to just be, you know, a team that plays into January a little longer. But I don't think they're going anywhere.
I don't know what they should do, but it seems pretty depressing. Just turned 29, Jones. I know that because I'm looking at profootballreference.com, the site that tells me that he has three nicknames.
Danny Dimes.
Correct. That's like, I mean, your mom knows that.
Yeah.
Danny Dimes. Dimes for short. That's one nickname here. There's not a separate Dimes here.
Okay. Well, his last name is Jones, so Jonesy. No?
He's not a hockey player, but he does play in the Hoosier State.
That did not give me what
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Oh, well, I hate it.
And that last one, you're not going to get it.
He just got there, and you're slapping Indiana Jones on him. What are we doing here, people?
Indiana Jones.
That is terrible. The last one I'm not going to get.
No.
Okay. Well, go ahead and hit me with
Vanilla
it.
Vic.
We should have saved that for the very end of the show.
We're not here for the very end of the show. Usually.
You make a certain kind
Vanilla,
of point.
You have these tests you have to take tonight.
The tests.
I got a show tonight. Vanilla Vic.
Vanilla Vic.
Indiana Jones, Danny Dimes. Yeah. No thanks. I was never an Indiana Jones movie fan. I did like I just thought it was boring. I did like the exhibit at Disney.
Boring is an interesting choice.
Oh my God. It's just so, these movies are like that are so boring. Like just what? Oh, okay. The good guy. Wow. Congrats. Like it just, there's just nothing going on there at all. There's a snake. There's a sword. A guy pulls out a sword. He shoots him. Whatever. I hated those. These movies are just so sad and terrible. But I did like the exhibit at Disney, which is like a live action thing and guns and it's kind
of
cool.
I would not classify myself as a fan of the Indiana Jones movie franchise, but I definitely am someone who liked them
yeah.
and enjoyed watching them with my kids, mostly because there weren't robots with space lasers in the movies. It just wasn't spaceships and you know, weird looking aliens.
Ooh, a Temple of Doom. Yeah. Wow. No, but I did like the exhibit, and I do have hundreds, literally, of Indiana Jones cards.
Oh, I believe
Raiders.
That. Yeah.
Of the Lost Ark cards. Like that's the original, you know, movie title.
Those aren't worth anything, are they?
I don't think so. Yeah. I have them because I got something else when I bought them, I think.
Oh, like in a lot or something?
Just take it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do have, I looked last night. I opened a box last night.
They're green. That's how you came to be in possession of the amazing Kreskin board game around holiday time, because my friend AJ Fries, artist, but he works in, like, one of his most popular lines of work was paintings of the little people from Fisher Price. Like, he had a whole line of stuff that he did. So he buys vintage toys so that he can use them as models for the some of the work he does. So he just buys bunches of stuff, and there's, you know, maybe 90% of it is just stuff he's never going to use. And he came across this Kreskin board game. It was like, thought of you, and
yes,
contacted me, and that's how I got that for you.
Yes.
Just came with the lot. He wasn't like, I got to get the amazing Kreskin board game. It just came with a thousand other things.
Sometimes that's just how it works. I still have it. I've seen it recently, but I have yet to play it.
Let me know how that goes.
You and I should play it.
Sure, we should.
We should test each other's ESP abilities. Indiana Jones. Well, good luck to the Colts. Daryl Ryder coming up at 4, talking about the Browns and the Miles Garrett trade. 803-0550 for your calls. Sal Capaccio as well today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.